younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattest calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he is back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost. So this evening, I just want to kind of highlight a couple points on here. And the first one I have is the tax collectors and sinners mentioned here in Luke chapter 1. Tax collectors were despised by the Jewish people for a number of reasons, but a couple of them are. One is that they would collect more than what you had to pay. Say you had to pay 10%, they would collect 12. And there were reasons why they did that. One was they would skim on top of them. They would also give money to whoever they were reporting to so that that person was making money also. So the Jewish people didn't really look too fondly on them, and I can kind of relate with that. Not so much with the IRS. We all pay taxes. We all feel, at least I do, I'm not into all of them, we pay too much. And so it's always been. But another reason why the Jewish people really didn't care for tax collectors was they were Jewish citizens, but yet they were working for the Roman government. So they were kind of seen as traitors, and they were seen as sinners. So, you know, having those people there, and then also it says that that there were sinners there. Tax collectors and sinners. Now, although there's no mention of any specific sin that these people were causing, but whatever they were doing, whatever they were involved in, the community that was around there recognized these people as sinners. We can go to different parts, well, even here on Imperial Beach, but we can go in different areas, and you can see groups of people sometimes at different, and you can just tell what they're doing is not right. That is sinful. And that's where the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were muttering. They were speaking under their breath. Look at this guy is supposed to be a teacher. But doesn't he know? Look at these people are sinners. This is who he's talking to? This is what the crowd that he's attracting? and people are coming to listen to him. It's like, you know, so they're muttering, and Jesus knew this. Jesus knew not only what they were saying, but he knew what they were thinking and what was in their heart. And that's what I believe Jesus is using these parables for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, but also for us as a church, to show us what God's attitude is towards the lost and towards the sinners and repentant sinners, on what God's attitude and what our attitude should be. And so in doing so, he addresses this, and he starts off with one of these, with a statement in Luke chapter 4 where it says, suppose one of you. So with that statement, everybody that he was addressing could put themselves, they could relate to the story that he was going to say. Suppose one of you. Everyone now is keyed in, because now you're talking to me. So let me hear. And obviously he's doing this also again to show the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, these people are where they need to be. Just like in a church, when we gather here, this is where people that are seeking their lost, they need to be here. They need to hear God's word. And that's what Jesus is showing them. They're in the right place here, and he's going to explain to them why. So that's what he's saying, that he will be able to relate to everybody. And you know, in reading this and looking at this verse, we're talking about the 100 sheep. I think sometimes, at least for myself, if that was to happen to me, I think there, you know, I've been out all day, coming back, we come back, and I'm looking and counting up, and it's like, I left with 100, I only have 99. You know, well, that's not too bad. You know, I'm not going to go out. It's been a long day, I'm not going to go out and find that. And also another way of looking at it, which I've done several times, when you lose something, and with me, unfortunately, I'll tell you, if you want to make a little extra money, just follow me around. I don't carry a wallet, and I carry my money in my pocket, which I have none. My wife doesn't let me carry my money. I would reach in my pocket and pull out keys or my phone or something, and not knowing, I would, whatever money I would have would fall out. Several times, and I've been, like I said, I have no money now. But, you know, I would a lot of times say, well, you know what? I would look around, I mean, I'd panic, like, man, where is it? But I would think, well, it'll turn up. Maybe I'd lost it in the house somewhere, it'll turn up. I think with the sheep, I would kind of do the same thing. And you know what? It's probably going to come back in tonight. It will probably eventually come, so I'm not going to worry about that. But that's not God's attitude towards the lost. He's seeing that one of my beloved are missing. One of my beloved is not here. I'm going to leave everything. I'm going to leave this, and I'm going to go look for that one. I'm going to go find that out. So 99% for God is not good enough. He wants that 100%, where I think as humans, we can rationalize, we can do that, because I know for myself, if I got 99% on everything that I did, I would be very, very pleased. But that's not enough. That's not, God is 100%. He is full. And so I think comparing us to that, to God's method, just like the brother of the son, the prodigal son, as we call him, that's not the attitude that we need to have. And so God's attitude towards repentant sinners, I have here in verse 5. He goes out, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts that sheep on his shoulders, and he carries it back. He doesn't, he makes it very easy. He goes out, he makes it easy on you, and he will carry you back and bring you to the fold. And also in verse 9, call friends and your neighbors. And you let them know the good news, what's going on. And also, they, in verse 20, they have a feast and a celebration. And I think sometimes, for me at least, I know our attitude sometimes can be, you know, when a repentant sinner comes back into the fold, they could have been they could have just been a member of the congregation, a member of God's family, and if they stray away, they come feel good, but comments come up. And unfortunately, and not saying this, but it could be like, boy, I hope you're happy. You know, when you left and you went out and you squandered everything, you know how much Dad worried about you? You know how much other people were worried? Well, I sure hope you're happy with that. You know, or another comment could be, you know, when you come back, looking at how the brother may have acted, because you know, now that you're back, I understand that you're back and we've welcomed you back and everything, but you know what? I have a payment plan for you now. And every month you can start making payments towards us as a family to pay back the inheritance that you threw away and you squandered away. And stuff. So there's like almost like you have to make a restitution. God doesn't do that for us. He doesn't do that. Once you've repented and you come back, God brings you back right now. You're whole. And I think sometimes as humans, we sometimes put limits on there. And that's another thing, maybe when you go out and you find somebody, just like if the brother would have found his lost brother, he may have said, you know, don't walk by my side after what we've done and everything. He walked behind you. But no, God picks you up and brings you back in. So that's God's attitude. This is great joy with celebration. And also with the angels in heaven, they celebrate for one lost sinner that comes back, one repentant sinner. And then looking at, but while he was still a long way off, this could represent, I think, a number of things. One is obviously that he was a long way from home, and he was coming back. A long way. Could be, again, through your lifestyle, through whatever choices you have made and fallen away, that you're a long way from God. You're a long way from his church. You could be a long way off. Also, again, you could be a long way from where you once were. As a mature Christian, you've fallen away, you may be a long way from where you were at that time. And the message is that the Father was looking while he was still a long way off. The Father saw him and was coming back. And I think what that's telling us is that we don't need to be at any certain place to repent. Once you realize that I'm living in sin, I've sinned. I've not only sinned a bit against my brothers and sisters, but I've sinned against God. Once you realize that, God is saying, that's it. Come on in. You don't have to be where you were. You don't have to be at the maturity level that you were at. You just need to come back to me. And that's what telling me is you need to do that. And with the lost son's confession, here we see in verse 21, it says, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So here, he's recognized what he has done. And so now this is like us saying, you know, I recognize what I've done, but I don't deserve to be called a Christian for what I've done, where I'm at now. I don't deserve to be that. I don't deserve to be in the assembly of God's people. I have done so much wrong. And that's because I'm a sinner. I'm just not here anymore. I just want to be a hired hand. That's what the son just wanted to be. He didn't want to be a son anymore. He just wanted to be part of that family, even though it'd be on the outside. I just want to be a hired hand. But the father doesn't do that. In verse 22-24, it says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and the sandals on his feet. He says, bring the fatted calf and kill it, lest I have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He is lost and now he's found. So they began to celebrate. Here, when his father brings him back, he doesn't just give him a robe. He gives him the best robe. He didn't want that. He just wanted to come back as a hired hand. But no, the father gave him the best robe. He gave him a ring for his finger. And again, I think that ring is symbolic of abundance. I'm not a ring person, but given to me as a gift to come on back. I mean, I would put that on. That's out of abundance and sandals on his feet. I mean, God gives us more than what we ever ask for, but he also gives us more than what we could imagine. So that's, again, when somebody repents of their sin, God rejoices that he brings you into that fold right now better than what you were. And I think as Christians, we need to look at that and have that same attitude and not trying to justify or reason what you need to do. So with that, again, we see that God gives them more than what you could even imagine. And the older brother became angry. Now, again, we look at this. The older brother, he served his father. He never questioned. It looks like, you know, he was there, but his heart was just not there. And although obedience is very important to God, obedience is important, but his heart wasn't in it. He was just going through the motions. And as it says, you know, he was doing it, and he slaved for it. And, you know, that's just not it. I know, I'm looking out here, and I know many of you have done many services for members of the church and members outside the body, probably. And it never feels like you're slaving. It's, boy, I'm actually being able to serve. I'm actually, you know, your heart is in that. And same with the lost. We need to have that same heart to recognize that, hey, yeah, you were lost, but now you're found. Now you're back here. And you know, let's surround him, let's celebrate, and let's get you back on your feet. Let's try and work with you and accept you where you're at. And do that, because that's what God does. And I think that the older brother's attitude sometimes could be ours as a church, where we don't quite welcome repentant sinners in the way that we should. And I'm not saying this congregation does it, but I know I've heard stories, not here, but elsewhere, that, you know, that happens. That happens, where people have repented stuff, but you know what? You might be more comfortable worshiping somewhere else, not here. So, you know, God does that. And in closing tonight, I'd just like to ask, you know, we always have an invitation, and maybe there is someone who has strayed away, who has kind of lost a relationship with God. And I can tell you that tonight, you're more than welcome to come back in and accept again what Jesus has done for you. We will celebrate with you. Maybe you're not even part of the family of God, and you haven't obeyed the gospel, and we're here tonight to share that gospel with you and let you know exactly what you need to do to be added to the Lord's church. Because again, we've all been added, and I guess the good part of the story is we're all repentant sinners. We've all been repentant sinners. So if there is someone that needs to come back in, or you need to obey the gospel, I tell you tonight, we're here. We're willing to meet with you and do that.